Okay, well, we are live on Marley's. We're in at the Cotton Club. Those of you who don't know where the Cotton Club is, it's at Marley's downtown Phoenix.
It's the first remote.
It's our first remote. This is our new home. We are just investing in this tremendous equipment, and we've got two-thirds of it here. So that's great news for us. Yes. Yeah, Marley's stuck his head in. So, well, we appreciate Marley's sponsorship, and we are down here.
Holding our own.
You know what's great?
Microphone.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, that's good. There's a mirror, sorry. Cotton Fitzsimmons, one of our all-time favorite people.
All-time.
Yes. This is the Cotton Club down here at Marley's, and it's kind of an odd-looking place. It's all white.
Well, gosh, you had sort of that.
Yeah, I know, but it's great. It's got pictures of Cotton up and all that sort of stuff. That's all cool. But
And low ceilings because he was a short man.
Yeah, you would have felt right at home here.
Yeah.
He'd be very tall in this
room. What
is
it? What heel is this in this room?
It's like a vacant room. It's like
one of those
nice ones you see in the movies.
Yeah, like a casino.
Kind of a back room. Yeah.
It's like
the big bowl lights behind you, you know, that you see like makeup rings.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of booze over there. Anheuser-Busch products.
Got a lot of them.
Aren't they the best? Anheuser-Busch products.
They are the best. From
Hensley.
You've been here for hours.
Yes, we have a little mic problem, so. Anyway, here we are. This is our new home. So everybody, welcome. Mark Cordes and Kerry Dozer and Steve Clausen. And, look, there's your pictures, guys, over there.
I like that.
Thank you. And that was from Pose Magazine, that will feature on the show, so that's pretty cool. So we have those framed up. And maybe we can get one of those down here. What do you say? Put it up.
In the cotton room.
That's a whole autograph.
Let me tell you something, when you look back on it. Cotton was the coach of the Suns, and I was running for Attorney General. Way back when, and it was a contested primary, hotly contested three-way primary, and then a hotly contested general race. And with all of that out there, and he's the coach of the Suns, he did a fundraiser for me.
Really?
Yeah, he did. And not like I knew him that well, but I knew him a little bit. And we did a lunch. John McLeod, also a former coach, did the same thing. Served just the worst food imaginable that was my philosophy,
right?
because I hate to go to an event, charity or campaign, and this is great. They spared no expense.
The food's great. They must have spent
No money for charity and no money for the campaign. Well, it was my campaign, so you got a little good sandwich. Yeah, it was a sandwich. He and Cotton. Todd was a speaker, and he had a big crowd for him. And at the time, I knew it was cool, but as time has gone by, I think, that took some guts for him to do that.
Cotton had an eye for talent. He saw you, and you remember the draft pick he made that everybody blew and said, wait?
Dan Marley. Yeah. He's such a good guy.
He went on one of my first dates with my husband, because I went to Chicago to see a game in the finals.
Yeah.
And I flew out to Chicago, and Cotton and Joanne took us out to dinner afterwards, and they sort of were like my godparents the whole time that we dated. And so then in our wedding video, Cotton and Al McCoy and Bill Frieder do this stand-up bit that is the funniest thing you've ever seen, and Cotton takes it over and he's like, Al Rich, I got some advice for you. On the honeymoon, you want to keep covered up because nobody wants to see that shit. I'm not getting it right now. It was the funniest deal I have ever seen. Oh, it's great.
It's Frieder's great, too.
You know, all the three of them just took off on Rich big time. It was great.
You're a Freed's fan, though you're from Michigan.
You know what's ironic?
After you freaking abandoned your program and then ruined ours.
I want a Michigan fan to coach Michigan program.
And then ruined ours.
That's harsh.
Well,
no, I'll be harsh on Bill Frieder. I don't love Bill Frieder. He absolutely destroyed Arizona State's basketball program. And I honestly cannot believe that he can walk around this town and that he doesn't move. He brought in more scumbags and felons and future felons, current felons, and just when the whole thing's in the tank, the main player arrested for rape, another guy for an armed robbery. Let's bring some more JC guys in who they can get in trouble. Then what did we have under him? Oh, fix the game. Headache Smith. Oh, that's great. And when they notified him, Frieder, oh, by the way, the FBI is investigating the program for fixing games, which was true, proven, admitted. Where was he? Vegas. Gambling. Oh, great. Nice program. And how long did that take to recover from? Really until last year. So, you know, I'm down on that guy. He seems like a nice guy, and he's all, ooh, 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 sister.
No, but he's kind of a
rad MOS.
I remember Dan Marlin back in Michigan. He was a huge starter for Iowa City in the high school.
Right. Why didn't he go to a bigger school? I never.
You know what? Central Michigan was a decent MAC school. People out here don't know the MAC schools as well, but they're all pretty decent programs. And he was good.
This guy was a great. He was a great pro and an all star. So why was he not in a big school?
Scholastics. Yeah, he took him.
Let's get Dan in here.
You know, he had a bad back.
That crack.
They were afraid. Some of the schools were afraid because he had that bad back.
Oh, really? Is that it?
If he comes in, I'll let
you're saying he's too smart for some schools.
Exactly.
Oh, okay, that's right. Yeah.
Ivy League. Yeah.
I'm the only one that would know who Dwight is.
No, he's the other guy. What's his name?
Charlie Coles, who's the coach at CMU, took him to the tournament. They were a pretty good program up there. Plus Michigan, Central Michigan.
Yeah, and that was another bullshit show, by the way. One last thing on Frieder, and the fact that you're defending him is insane.
No,
I'm from Michigan, because when he abandoned his team.
Oh, Bo was furious.
Oh, he did. Bo, good for Bo. Bo fired his ass, and that was good.
Well,
because he abandoned his team, took the Arizona State job right before the tournament. Yeah. And then what happened?
Unbelievable.
That was great.
You know what? Bo gets
who would do that?
Bo gets partial credit for winning that national championship. Because one of the things he was really pissed at, as my athletic director, is spring football was going on. It did screw with Bo's spring football practice. So we had to deal with this in addition to spring football. Bo actually kind of had a little bit of a role in coaching the basketball team. Because there was a time after the third.
Well, they had a little bit of talent.
They had a lot of talent.
A little bit of talent.
After the Kentucky game, the story is Bo went in the locker room just ripped one of the Michigan players. Just kind of black baseball, gave one of the football things.
He's nutty as Woody Hayes.
Oh, Bo was the best.
He was all right.
Oh, Bo was, yeah. You saw that when he died.
You know, Ohio State had a great program, though. You love that.
You know what?
This is Mr. B. Back on Bo.
Bo,
well, you're from Ohio, Gary. Yeah. Defend Ohio State.
No.
Bo delivered what he's doing to
Ohio State. Superior. Don't you think?
What's that?
Ohio State is superior.
Absolutely
Michigan
not.
Sports.
Ohio's a four-letter word.
It is. It's what?
Ohio is a four-letter word.
True, but we're talking about Ohio State. I mean,
Ohio State.
Yeah, the Ohio State.
It's pretty impressive. You know, one of my relatives is a national champion of Ohio State.
Have you ever played
synchronized swimming? And Michigan sucks in synchronized swimming. Did you know that? Actually, it is.
It's very hard.
It's impossible.
It's totally impossible.
That is
I did it until I was 16. It is impossible.
Synchronized swimming is not a great spectator sport.
No.
Because all you see are their feet. Like,
but
right.
Let's compare it.
Yeah, the water vision. It's way better.
Michigan gets 110,000 people per year. Ohio State gets 105,000 people. And how many does your alma mater ASU get on a good year?
We're not talking about ASU. Clearly superior to
Michigan. Because there's other things to do in Tempe.
Yeah, really.
Number one. Number two.
I will say that's true, by the way. In the winter back there, what else are you going to do? Go to the Shoney's?
We didn't have Shoney's.
They do now.
If you want to swag up mascots,
yeah,
would you rather be attacked by a Wolverine or a Buckeye, which is a nut?
My hair was
a hairless nut.
His name is Frieder, by the way.
A hairless
nut. I have a couple of those.
Yeah. That's TMI.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's what the kids are doing.
What? Kids?
Shaving?
Of course.
You gotta do some manscaping.
A guy said that in the locker room today about someone who's, he doesn't have any pubic hair. You know, the fact that you know that is very disturbing.
There's
no one else in the locker room did that. And why do you know that?
Can I give you a little tip?
Yes. Sir.
All the listeners that are there. Do a little maintenance better. Do a little. Show some pride of ownership.
Yeah.
Give some purpose.
I understand that.
For one thing, it makes it look bigger.
beer might sell it.
Yeah, that's one last thing on this. I'm going to send this. We'll put it on the web page in the next day or so. I kid you not, I actually saw a commercial online. I doubt if it's one of them. From Gillette, Gillette maker of all the personal grooming products and stuff.
Yes.
Doing a video demonstration of what you need to do down there. And they use
men? Men?
Yes. And they used to line something like, men, if you trim the bush, the tree looks bigger. In the commercial.
Oh, is that what you were driving at then, Derek?
I say.
We danced around it for like 20 minutes.
If your prunes are all overgrown,
you can't clean the nuts.
Get here.
My point is, if you stir small potatoes, it makes a stick with you.
Oh my God.
That's
all bullshit. That is all.
No, I'm not buying any of that stuff. But seriously, speaking of the national deficit.
Yes.
No, moving on here. Does anyone think that this will be revealed soon, since we're on all week and it'll be over? Does anyone think that we could have an upset in the Iranian elections? Yes. Will he be defeated? Because it. You know, just the fact that he has opposition, and if you watch the, you know, if you follow this, his opponent, whatever his name is, this guy, just tremendous crowds out there, it's young people, it's just kind of familiar, you know.
I think he's gonna win.
That would be unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
They weren't appear in their lives, maybe, but
they
can. I believe you're cool, but I'm not.
Get up, Retail.
You can run here, maybe.
Wouldn't that be awesome, though, if we had an upset there? And, you know, the president, clearly in his on his trip, I give him great credit for his trip, and his I think his speech was great that he gave to the Muslim world. He clearly was, I think, in the perfect way, trying to quote some elections a little bit. I mean, he threw out there that, the lines about the Holocaust, you know, hey, if anyone doesn't believe in that, you're pretty nutty, and blah, blah, blah. Well, I wonder who that is.
And why would you vote for that guy?
Yeah, why would you vote for that guy? You ought to vote for the other guy. I mean, you know, he got his point across, and certainly, you know, I think it seems like that only helped. It seems like this guy's on a roll here, Ahmadinejad's opponent. And it could happen. I mean, who knows? It could happen. Iranians for, you know, most of the history of the world have been, you know, very cultured, really top of the food chain here as far as world cultures. So there's no reason they couldn't step out here.
And you still have the idea, as you were against the Iran, I'm assuming they're running elsewhere too, that the American people have no problem with the illegal. It talks about being educated and
sure,
it's like this. And then it goes to Ahmadinejad. And it's like, why is he doing it? I'm not sure who's behind this, but it's kind of interesting.
Let's move on. I thought.
Move on that wise.
Move on that for it.
Oh no, that's Indian.
No, that's just like Mongolian noodle in that
style. Ow. You just came up with that, didn't you? Yeah, I knew you did. Let's do the dog.
Let's set that out.
Please.
Yes.
Well, you know. Okay, now one thing that is a little disturbing in the news here. We're taking on these issues today here. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. It just sounds, it's really striking when you hear it. But then I think when you get behind it, maybe it makes sense. The president appointed a czar, one of our many czars, to oversee executive compensation. And the problem I have with that, one, it just sounds bad, because all of a sudden now we're, you know, I really don't want the government involved in corporate decisions as a rule here, in fact, at all, period, other than, you know, regulatory. Now, I guess the point is, if people are going to take bailout money, they're going to be, you know, going to the government to survive, then the government has a right then to tell you how you're going to run the company. I agree with that, too. The problem is, it's very apparent now, that at least with a lot of the banks, they didn't want to participate in this program. They were forced to participate in it. So are they excluded? I haven't seen that. Are they excluded from this czar? Because they should. I don't like the idea that the government can force you into a government program And then now that, well, you're in the government program, so we're going to run your business for you, that's no good.
Well, first off, on the czars, that's immediate reason. You're not actually czars. The title is czar.
Right.
It's a simplified thing. But in terms of banks who have sold banks, who still have federal bail of money with data because they're not financial solvent, yeah, they would be covered by that as far as I know. That's
well, he's given.
Well,
exactly. The banks who didn't want it in the first place now want to pay it back, and you've got 10 banks, I guess, who are ready to go, and they've given them the okay to do it. I don't know. I just think we need to keep our eye on this, and I got no problem with when you have the AIGs of the world that we should be able to step in and say, no, you're not getting bonuses anymore, you meatheads. You're not going on these trips, despite the mayor of
Vegas. The problem I have is once these posts, czar, whatever you want to call it, are established, they never go away.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's say this was because of the bailout situation. Hopefully this bailout thing is not going to be a permanent fixing for the government.
Right.
Well, that guy's never going to go away.
Well, we need to, that's the problem.
What about with the next administration, be it 3 years or 5 years? You don't think it goes away?
Name one thing that the government's ever did that's gone away.
Even the Republicans don't do it.
Remember that 20 years ago with the S-Bounds? Is that still existing? What's that? What's it doing?
No, but it's a good point in that the bureaucracy rarely dismantles. And it's not a Republican-Democrat thing.
No.
Republicans talk about it, but then once they get in there, they're worse than anybody because they have the... holy glow around them. We're for lower government, less government, and it's easier for them to pull off the big government.
But all that's big money just to run that position.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's just a, it turns into one big green dog after another.
Well, it does.
You know, I just heard this today. The only city in the country where unemployment rate is going down is D.C.
Yeah, and that's the truth. Well,
that literally is. It's at like 4%.
Well, if you take any city there or any place, it's has a lot of government workers, yeah, they're doing fine right now, as a rule. Except we go to Arizona. And here in our state, we follow this budget deficit problem from its inception. I mean, one of our early shows, we had on the head of the transition team for Governor Brewer, Chuck Coughlin, talking about how she was going to deal with this. And she's done her best, she's implemented this plan somewhat. And as we speak, nothing's happened. I mean, just checking just an hour ago, they still don't have anything done. So we seem to be the train wreck continues here. It's going to be, the question will be, the Democrats haven't budged. Doesn't seem to me that they're, well, maybe they will. I mean, the governor has the same old deal. I won almost everything in 8 years of the legislation. Okay, now about three quarters of that was stopping negative things.
Giving everybody your arm
and leg up. Well, not just on me, but or the AG's office, but environmental measures in particular, anti-consumer measures, mainly environment, civil rights, just keeping them from doing more and more damage. But a lot of proactive things. But the way we won is we got every Democratic vote, and then we got a handful of moderate Republican votes, and we won. That is one answer for the governor here. Is to join forces with the Democrats and just get something accomplished. Her other option is to stick with the Republicans and eventually see if they blink, if they'll blink on the tax increase. And if not, then you know we're going to stay at stalemate for a while and eventually we'll see if they take it to the public. But everybody's very antsy about taking it to the public, especially after California turned everything down.
It doesn't make fair either.
It's hard to see. It may be, I don't know. I think it may be easier somewhat here because we have a smaller voter pool. The business community would be behind a temporary tax, I think, as opposed to knifing education and social services and all of that. So you might be able to mount it, but yeah, in a special election,
I would want to be promoting that. But I mean,
well, you know, the way you promote it is. You look at the legislative budget that they passed and just say, is this what you want? I mean, do you really want Arizona State, U of A, and AU to go down the tubes here, which in my view, they will regress dramatically. You want you want to go from 28 kids to 35 kids in the classroom? You want to get rid of pre-K? Is this what you want? Because if you don't vote for it, this is what you're going to get. You want to throw this many families out in the streets. You want it as far as health care, as far as basic social services. This, you know, what will it pass? You can do all of that and it still probably fail. I agree with you. I think it'll probably fail.
I've got to get it done there.
What do you think? I think this is going to be about Brewer, which is precise to what we
want. Well, I think number one with Brewer, I've always thought that it was at best a 50-50 proposition of her running in it, or running in first place. Because, you know, we've had many of these folks. The way to become governor is really to be Secretary of State. That's the easy point. Because it's easier to be elected Secretary of State than you don't do a damn thing as Secretary of State, despite what they say.
Yeah, there's already a lot of legal for
something like that. I'm thinking three or less five votes.
Yeah, and before Rose, Wes Boland went up. And then he went out and it skipped Rose because she was appointed and it went to Babbitt.
Right.
So we've had succession over and over and over in the state, which is ludicrous since we don't have a lieutenant governor. So you get these people who really, people don't think governor when they're voting for Secretary of State.
Again, Rose said, we're not both.
Well, some people aren't qualified, but I just think, you know, we'll see with her. I don't know how much. Look, you don't want to. It's not enjoyable to be the governor when you're deciding how much do we cut schools, how much do we cut hospitals, how much do we cut here and there. You want to, you know, even if you're not for big government, you still want to be doing things in a positive way, not in a negative way. That's so fun. Because, you know, it's like with charities. In a sense, they're all good causes. You know, even if you don't agree it's a government role, it's a good cause. Maybe the government shouldn't be doing X, but yeah, it would be nice if more kids could do this or more old people could get taken care of or whatever we're talking about. You know, you may say that's not the government's role, but it would be a good thing. So you're just constantly saying no. So I don't, and she's being creamed by her own party here. So I don't know if she'll run or not. If she does run, then I think she'll have her hands full because I assume people will run against her from the right, only in Arizona. You know, you run to the right of Jan
Brewer.
Right,
Jan Brewer.
I mean, idiotic.
Right. Look, there might be three or four candidates.
I mean, yeah. Oh, I think it's been three or four, yeah. Well, it'll be entertaining. It wasn't so sad. But, you know, I used to go back when I was AG. I would go back, and I was very active in the national group. And, you know, we executed however many people. We were executing people every other month here. I was pretty, you know, up on crime, things like that. They thought I was conservative or conservative to moderate. I come back here, and I was like Mao Zedong.
You
are. You know, like, oh, my God.
This is the leader of MoveOn.org.
Oh, I was.
Could have been.
You know. I remember this guy from, he was the party chairman from Mojave County, came in my office. And I used to have when you got off the elevator, there's a picture of Bobby Kennedy. And then if you turn the other way, there's a big picture of Martin Luther King. And this, I swear to God, this guy, white shoes, the whole bit, he's a car dealer. He about had a stroke walking in there. He goes, what's all that?
It's two great Americans.
Yeah. Two of my heroes. What can I say? Sorry, dude. You know.
Oh, sorry about the picture of Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King.
Oh, I can't.
Yeah, really.
Did I ever tell you guys this story of, I can't name names, but,
oh, come on, it's your show.
No,
they're not listening.
I had this meeting when Dole was getting ready to run for president. It was pretty far out, he asked me if I would get some Republican AGs to come up and meet with him. So we went up to the leader's office, and I had about 5 or 6 of them. I was one name, and so say one from the south is there. So so we're sitting there talking, you know, and Goel gives his little spiel. Now, you're in the majority leader's office, in the leader's office. So when you look out the window, you know, you're looking down the mall, there's the Washington Monument, you know, the White House is down there. You know, this is a pretty nice setting, right? It's an all-American setting. And Goel gets his spiel, and these goofs, I still remember this, nobody said shit. And they were like, so Goel's trying to drag something out of him, you know. And he says, well, do you have any advice for me? Anything you'd like to know? And this guy from the South said, Well, I do center during the
game. Oh, okay. Yeah, I hear you guys.
I swear to God, this is actually a famous conversation on that.
Luigi will down.
He said, you know, when you're down in my state, when you go to speeches, don't be careful. Don't quote Lincoln. It's just not popular down there. Don't quote Lincoln. And there was this silence in the room. And Dole's a very funny guy. He gave me this little look out of the side of his, oh, okay, thank you. Oh my God. And I about crawled under the chair thinking, I have never in my life heard anyone dog Lincoln. You can pretty much name, there's always someone who's down on anybody. Not Lincoln, I never heard a negative word. And we're in the leader's office, and he goes, hey, don't bring up that Lincoln character.
Generally has better approval ratings.
Oh my God.
You don't have to go through it. I'm going to guess the senator was in Mississippi, and I can probably.
No, it was an AG.
Oh,
it was an AG. It was an AG, and no. I don't know.
Don't bring up that Lincoln character.
Unbelievable.
But it had to be some of those default states. You don't take somebody.
Yeah. Well, when they're getting serious, and I'll tell you why. You know, I used to, well, believe me, I got to see Bachelor, as you guys know. I talked about civil rights in every speech I gave for 8 years, plus a year and a half I ran, because that was just something I promised myself. I didn't want to just speak at the NAACP, and which crowds for the cause. I want to do it in Sun City at the Breakfast Club on Saturday morning. You know, now I may have been a little briefer at the Sun City Breakfast Club. Let's move right into that death penalty.
But,
oh, I can tell you some stories. Oh my God!
Most people may not be wrong.
I'll tell you a story. No, what the hell? Why is we're doing?
Well, for one thing, breakfast in Sun City is like 5 in the morning.
It's early, and you know, and I live in the East Valley, and you got to be on time.
Oh yeah.
And if you're not on time, I swear to God, you can say almost anything out there, and they either can't fail. But if you're late, you're there at 6:05. I'm sorry, I had to get up at 3. Saturday morning, you know, you go sing some friggin' songs. God bless. Anyway, no, I'll tell you. But this is bad. I did a little bit. It's all right, but okay. One time, this is classic. I'll tell you where I was at. I was at the Sedona Republican Women's Club. Now it might have been the Yavapai County or Coconino, whatever it is. One of them. And I did the Sedona Women's Club, Republican Women's Club. So I'm there, and it was mostly elderly women. It was a lunch, and so I give my, you know, I give my stock speech. I'm a candidate, right? And now there are a couple of really old guys in the audience. They were spouses, they had nothing better to do, they tag along with their wives. So I give my spiel. Same speech I give everywhere in the state. And this, they had a couple questions or whatever, and then this really old guy, by old, I mean, he raises his hand, stands up. That took an hour. I'm standing up there, and he goes, what? That's the first man's on there. So I'm thinking, oh no, this is not going to be good once he got on his mind. Look, I just want to say that, you know, what you said there about that Martin Luther King, that was good. I agree with you on that. And I think you made a good point there, because you know what? There are some really good niggers out there. And I just went, what? I mean, because in my mind, I remember this, again, like it was yesterday, I was thinking, it worked. I made it in. There's a reason why I speak to all these people. And then I just went, oh my God, now what do I say?
And then the car went over the cliff.
Oh my God.
Oh, shit.
I mean, it was stunning. I just went, well, you know, I
I agree.
I had to say something.
I always said that.
You know, we.
Oh my God.
Generally don't use that word. It's not appropriate, but I think I appreciate the sentiment. I'm not sure. And moved on. Oh man, it was sick. But in my mind, I'm going, yeah, I made it. Just what you said. I made it in road.
Well, this was worth the drive. Whoa, wait a minute.
What?
That took a bad turn.
Wow. And, you know, and then I thought about it later and sizing the guy out being there. I think he was trying to be nice.
He probably was.
I think
that
he
actually
was.
Probably the nicest thing you could have said to you.
It was pretty stunning.
How do you think he voted on the MLK holiday code? Like,
well, you know, that was a problem. You know, when
they
I
don't
ran,
need their own holiday.
People forget about this. I ran for attorney general. And I'd never prosecuted. I'd been a public defender. That was my criminal justice background. I was pro-choice. On the ballot was English only. I was against that. They were all for it. Martin Luther King holiday, for it. They're against it. That is a freaking miracle.
I know. Did the other people that you're running against die?
Like, well, pretty much.
Did you pull this off?
Pretty much. Well, I don't know. You know, it was rough. That was a pretty rough year. You know, and I was just talking to this former legislator. I'm working on something with, but he went to the, he got elected that same year, and he went to the Republican meeting. So you finally win, right? You win, hey, great, here's your attorney general, get sworn in. Then in January, both parties have their meetings. And so they have their big state meeting. There's like 800 people there. First time, you know, now you're their guy. And by the way, I was the top guy because the Democrat was elected Secretary of State, Dick Mahoney, and the governor, there was a runoff between Simonton and Dyer. So I'm like the top guy. And here he is, and they were all yay, and they're cheering, you know, 800 Republicans out there. And now I probably could have softened this one, but I said, you know, this is great. It's a great election. But the first thing this party has to do is we have to get the Martin Luther King holiday back on the ballot, and we've got to get behind it and pass it. And there was like a beat, and then boo. Yeah, I'm not saying all 800 booed, but at least 600 booed. And I've never been booed before. It's weird. It was loud. And this guy, this legislator, admitted to me a couple years later that he was booing. And then he apologized for that. I said, well, I didn't know you booed.
For like a split second during that beat of silence,
yeah.
Did you think about saying, I'm just shit, yeah. Oh, come on.
It was the beginning of a
total fail right there.
Beginning of a rocky road. A lot of Republicans come on and off it. We could have back in the dark, and we did win. Yeah, so it was great. But, you know, they were a little close.
I had you going there for a second, didn't I?
There were a number of reasons why the holiday did not pass.
It was a little tricky on the ballot. They had a guest cell problem.
And then the great help come.
That didn't help. It was boycott and all that sort of stuff.
As a politician, explain it. Why do they always make the ballot initiatives so hard to understand that a large percentage of people end up voting the way they don't want to vote?
Generally, though, when they do it that way, it's for a reason.
Yeah.
One is because it's been referred by the legislature. The legislature, when they refer things, generally they don't want it to pass. They're just too chicken shit to vote it down, for example. If they end up putting this tax thing on, they may come to the conclusion, enough of them, that, well, it needs to be done, but I don't want to vote for it. Or, you know, there's lots of things like that. So they put it on there a little tricky. Another thing is the special interest, if they're getting, if it's by initiative, they're doing it tricky for a reason. The tobacco companies were sneaky a couple times they tried it. It's happened many times. So.
I mean, there's a reason behind that. I don't think that's true of the will of the people when you just trick the question.
No, it's not.
No,
I never
think
that. Generally, the people can figure it out. It's very strange to me, but
the casual voter, a lot of times.
But you know what they do? I'm telling you, if you look at over, there's plenty of examples. I'll just give an example of the smoke-free deal. Here we are, we're sitting in Marley's. We would have been here 3 years ago. You smoke everywhere and all that. Couldn't breathe. The tobacco companies. I was chairman of the anti thing, which was great because the other side had millions and millions of dollars.
The guy with the thing.
Yeah, so fake. You know, they had their fake smoke free thing that they had so many loopholes that it wouldn't be smoke free, and that's what the tobacco company puts millions and millions of dollars behind. And then I'm standing there, and who did I have? My little sister.
Lung
cancer,
right.
Heart, you know, the same.
And no money, not $2.
Nothing. We had nothing. We had zero. So you think millions of dollars. If you remember that ad campaign, I mean, they were out there. They were all over television. They were everywhere. And they were acting like they were being tough on smoking, which was a scam. And we were there, you know. Well, guess what? The public, even in the face of all that, I think it was like a 60-40 thing.
You know what I love? I love you sitting here talking about how you're for non-smoking as you're wearing a Bob Marley t-shirt. The irony is beautiful. So you're for smoking, just depending
on what...
He
didn't smoke cigarettes. He was very anti-cigarettes because he had lung cancer.
Yeah.
Wonder how he got cancer.
I don't know. Yeah, that was shocking. Okay, we got a couple more, so I'm just going to run through real fast. Well, we covered quite a few of those there. One, we have to give a shout out to Ace of Baseball. And you know, Pat Murphy's been very controversial. A lot of people don't really know, don't like the guy or whatever. I don't know the guy, but all I know is, damn, this guy is nothing but success. Which, by the way, Arizona State, junior high, followed ASU baseball as I was a little kid. And I called the coach, I was head of the president of National Junior Understate. Yeah. And we're having a meeting. Yeah, right. I have my ready luck. And we're gonna have like a meeting, right? Or I don't know what to call it, but it's just a meeting.
Was the Glee Club full?
No, National Junior Understate. No, this is the point. At Carson Junior High, the National Junior High said, I call Coach Winkles,
Bobby Winkles.
You know, how old are you in junior high? I remember that grade. And invited him, personally, to come speak to our team. Guess what? He came.
Wow.
He came. Wow. This guy was the greatest guy. I mean, fantastic.
That's awesome.
And he just, you know, really friendly. And so, why would he do that? I mean,
he
was great. So, I mean, Bobby Lincoln's nothing but success. Jim Brock, nothing but success. And now you're from Pat Murphy, nothing but success. And the staff that I thought was amazing on this team is of the 300 major college baseball programs in the United States this year, the least experienced team of the 300 is Arizona State. And they're going to call it World Series. That's impressive. That's coach. I mean, that's big time. And the reason they're losing experience is because their team, which was great last year, got upset. They all left. They all go
college baseball. You know what? Pat Murphy is, I will tell you, is a great guy. We know him really well. We got to know him when the council came to play the Diamondbacks because he had played for Pat at Tournament.
Right.
And we got to know him really well, and he's an awesome guy. And we should have him in.
That'd be great.
He will say anything. He's very outspoken. He's
right.
Funny
as hell.
That's good.
Really, really good guy.
And I just hope Pat Murphy's a great coach. Obviously, he's done a great job for ASU. I hope he's not one of these coaches who's remembered as a great coach, but just a pinnacle.
Yeah.
If he gets a national championship, that would just, you know. He doesn't.
Has he won a national championship?
No. Just out of curiosity, is he Irish?
I'm not sure.
One good thing for ESPN is Blake Owens, they pointed out every year they summed up as a one national championship. It's been an odd number of years.
Wow. That's fantastic. How do we speak in this stuff?
Well, he's probably put down some ad on ESPN.com.
Yeah. Oh, and you know what? I was going to tell you this, that last Saturday, I haven't bet on a horse race in 20 years, right? So I had, you know, I've been watching this. I watched the they have Ernest T. Bass as the jockey. He's back on my network. And so I think, okay, it's all working now. You got Ernest T. back in the saddle. You got the Phillies out. I mean, this is a lot. And then I look in the paper, it says 2-1. 2-1 is great. I mean, that's a hell of a deal, right? I said, okay, I got to go put $100 down. So I actually went on the internet, say, where's some OTB? Where's closest to me? There's one down, not that far away. I got to do it. And then that is, hey, what are you doing? You don't know shit about horse racing. If you really like my net bird, which I do, don't bet on it. Because the fact I even thought about it probably changed him.
Because it's all on you.
Yeah. Well, if I bet on him, he will lose for sure. So I didn't do it.
Thank God.
Because that was.
And who won?
Some other bird. Summer bird.
It was another bird. Yeah. Another bird. I thought, well, it's the bird. It's for it's not that bird. It's
same,
bird.
Same dad.
I'm so pissed. I had $100.
What do you call them?
My dad. Sire?
I had $100 on Lady Bird Jones.
It wasn't Lady Bird.
I was that close. And Larry Bird, I had him in my contract.
You know, and LBJ, LBJ called her Bird. I mean, that, you know, when they're just talking, hey, Bird. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
He was a weird dude.
Yeah.
So too bad. I thought Ernest G.
had a chance.
He ran that Kentucky Derby. That's a race. If you just look at how he did it. It's as good as it gets for a job. This one here, he seems like he screwed it up. I don't want pretty much the main style of horse racing world. You got a horse that's going to, once he goes, he goes. He just bolts. So you got to hold and hold and hold it because it's a long race. And I think he went a little early. No, he let him go and he thought he had it. He thought he'd won, but he was out of gas. And it looks like any athlete. You can sprint. And, you know, to Dan Marley, he can go run, and at some point he's going to be gassed, and then you're done. And I think that horse is gassed.
Well, and it's also the longest of the three races, too. So, you know, that has to be
bad. Well, that's why he had to wait, but he said the horse was fighting him, and so finally he gave in.
Well, the thing to do on a race like that is, what, 10 horses in the race like that, 10 9, whatever it was. Forget the favorites. Put a couple of bucks in each one of the long shots, like 20-1 or more, and like wheel them with the other horses. So
yeah,
you can get your exact. You've made a lot of money because the two favorites come in. Yeah, you're not going to make it.
You're right, but there is. I know that theory, but the flaw in that theory is pretty obvious, and that is the best horses are the ones that are the favorites. So they usually win.
But how much would you pay the Kentucky Derby?
I know, it's not always true.
Because what, the trifecta paid, I think, 43,000.
Okay, how about in the Preakness? How about in the Preakness, the two favorites, first and second?
Well, that's one of
those. That's what I'm saying.
But you would have
this is the same deal. They used to say, they would tell you, people would tell you, hey, you should advertise on this cable because the reach is so cheap.
I wonder why.
I wonder why. Because no one watches. It's the same deal. You got to watch out for those things. Are we doing the Woody here? Jerry's holding the Woody. So.
Okay.
Oh, I love this one. This is a classic. And then we can discuss this case. And then you can, and we'll be done, okay? Oh, we got other stuff done. Oh, before we do that, did anyone see Bret Michaels, the Poison singer, on the Tonys?
No.
Greatest thing of all time. Okay, Mark didn't see it.
Did he have the bandana on?
He's a complete ass. I don't even know who this guy is, but he's on a reality show.
Poison is on.
Yeah, what was that?
Because of Rock of Ages. There's a musical called Rock of Ages. So, you know, the opening to the Tonys I thought was great. And I mean, this is the biggest year for Broadway in a long time as far as they've had more acts, more funny shows, more everything. So it's great. So they have boom, boom, boom. It's all good. And then right in the middle of it, here comes this big lump. And it's Rock of Ages, so he's out there doing his whatever the hell he was singing, some, you know, heavy metal thing, supposedly. But everyone else sang their own songs, not him, he's lip-syncing, not the geeks around him who are faking like they're playing on the guitar. Okay, so this
guitar
like,
hero?
Yeah, guitar hero.
Right.
Looked like shit. So he's, you know, this sucks. Get rid of this guy. So he's done. It's all... You know, you got to get your marks, right? Right, your show biz, right?
Yeah.
You got to do it on the right time. He stayed just a little too long milking it. Everyone else left, and you had to turn and go, boom, like walk fast, because there was a whole other act coming on both sides of the stage. So he waited just a couple of beats too long, and when he turned, the set came down, and then he tried to make it under, and it went boom. Knocked him flat.
Oh,
almost knocked him cold. Broke his nose.
Oh, God,
busted his lip.
Yeah. That's a YouTube poll.
I had it on, and I said, you know, and it was so quick. I said, holy shit, that guy just got clocked. So I had to rewind it. And wow, this is fantastic. The biggest douchebag on the show got clamped. It's fantastic.
Was Danny Bonaducci out here body slamming?
Oh, that was great.
Oh, I got to go home on YouTube. Man.
And then, oh, you got to be.
Oh, yeah,
it's all. It's got like a million hits now.
Perfect.
But of all the guys to get clamped. And he had on some goofy thing with yep. that. I didn't protect him. All right, speaking of goose, this is a great case. I got to say, this is fantastic. But I'm having to go for the lawyers because, you know, I like to do that, right? Okay. There's a lawyer I don't like. They may appear on the show, right? In a negative light. So this is one of this week's week goes to criminal defense attorney Mark Garagos. Remember this guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was Michael Jackson's boy. Let me rephrase that. Yeah. He was Michael Jackson's lawyer. He used the defense that beat it didn't really mean that. And now he's Chris Brown's lawyer, using the defense that beat it didn't really mean that. And apparently he's also the lawyer for the family of deceased actor David Carradine. Back to saying that beat it didn't really mean that. Okay, Garagos is calling for us to waste the FBI's time and resources to disprove that Carradine was a perv on holiday in aptly named Bangkok. Instead, run with the Garagos theory. He says the death of the Kung Fu star could have been brought about by a secret sect of Kung Fu assassins as Carradine, who's in his 70s, or was, probed their shadowy activities. He was on a secret mission to uncover groups working in the martial arts underworld. Seriously. Good one. And to uncover them, apparently, I guess, he hid in a closet with a rope tied around his neck, wrist, and genitals with a wig and a bottle of Viagra laying on the floor. Hello. Good one, Mark. Hey, I could care less how Kung Fu got through the night, but let's leave the FBI to work on terrorism and financial scammers, not why Grasshopper couldn't tie a square knot correctly. But I'm sure he knew the sheet bend. Apology there for the Eagle Scout, not joke, but I'm for Mason. Headline here, no foul play, this time the chicken choked back. And attorney Mark Garagos got a Woody.
Oh, wow.
Roll tape. Okay. That's the one we liked, wasn't it? The chicken choked back.
That's a good one.
Isn't that what happened? I don't think he was investigating some weird martial arts underworld.
I was looking for the headline, Carradine Well Hung.
You didn't see the pictures, apparently.
Yeah. Why not?
He's wearing fishnet stockings, I guess.
No, he wasn't.
Easy there on that. Is that a problem? Mark's upset. When you're in Bangkok.
Yeah. Come on.
Is your dolphin safe?
Well, he wasn't Thailand, then he was Thai.
How good could that be, really?
I heard that. I still don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing.
I'm
about to die. The excitement. It's like, you'd be kind of like worried about
dying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to tell you there.
Auto-erotic asphyxiation.
Yeah. What's the story on that? You know about that.
You've been in show business.
Wait, tell us. Hang on. You're in show business. Get that mic around. Okay, right.
I'm trying to vapor like it. What do you call when you take the initials from that? AAA is Automobile Association of America.
So, an acronym.
An acronym for the Auto Erotics is Chris Giggler.
No, that's onomatopoeia.
Oh, okay.
Right.
That.
Okay.
It's the sound.
Yes.
But the
like sizzling.
But the sensation are almost like.
Maybe not. Okay, go ahead. What was that?
I don't get that.
I don't even know what they're talking about.
Well, here's what I said.
Why can't they just go with the basics? That's great stuff.
It's very generally
doing that my whole life. It's great. Stop off with the rope.
I had this thing a few years ago. I had this deal where whenever I had sex with a woman.
Why?
I had this thing. Yes. Whenever I'd have sex with a woman, I had rapid heart rate. My eyes were watering. I was finding it hard to breathe. It turned out it was the mace.
Oh, yeah, that's not good. Well, and I guess his ex-wife was in for reports that he's a bit of a perv. But that's ex-wife
number
one. Ex-wife number two stood up for him. Did you see her on Larry King?
No, what'd she
look like? No, you know why?
Because
Joy Behar was in for Larry King.
Gross.
That's
true.
I didn't bring
you the
one about.
That is
okay,
gross.
I did.
Both of
them. So, Larry King and somebody from The View.
Joy
Behar was in for Larry King and interviewed the ex-wives. And ex-wife number one was like, oh my God, he's a total perv. And he used to do this and that and this and that. And the next wife number two is like, I don't really want to answer those questions.
Good for her.
I just like to say that he was finer than me. And she's like, So did he have it tied around his genitals?
Yes.
Well, it was horrible.
Yeah, people watch, but TMZ's got a video of it currently in some sex shop or adult shop in Los Angeles. This was like 3 weeks before this happened.
Really?
Certain things he was purchasing.
What was he buying?
I don't know. I didn't watch the video yet, but apparently it talks about some of the...
Why is this Garagos character? Is he just trying to get on TV?
Mark likes cameras.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's always on. You know, if there's a high-profile case in California, Mark Garagos is
here. He runs over Gloria Allred to try to get the case.
Oh, my God.
That's another one of your buddies that are over.
No. Can I tell that story?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, you know Gloria Allred?
Okay, we'll tell you that, and we'll wrap it up. This is really classic. So there's this Santa Monica playhouse, and my son Cole, who just graduated from high school, when he was smaller, he was like, I'd say he's 12, something like that. And we flew a couple of his buddies over. He hadn't seen them all summer to see him at the end of the, you know, the summer they put on their own play, right? So his buddies came in. Anthony and Parker. Obviously, all these kids now graduated from high school. So there's these three little guys there, and we have a tradition that when the after the show, whoever was in the show, whichever kid was in the show, they get a pick where we go to dinner, and we all go to dinner and celebrate, right? So Cole talked to his buddies, he's all excited, and they put their heads together. Now they're 12, right? And they pick Hooters.
Oh, perfect.
Of course, right? You know. And we thought, oh God. Yeah, here we go. So we talked about it. Yeah, you know, there's nothing wrong with Hooters. Hooters is fine. It's harmless, right? Okay, so we go to the show and sit. It's a tiny, tiny little theater. I mean, it might hold, I don't know, 40 people at the most. And sitting directly right in front of me, and there's only four rows, is Gloria Allred. Miss, you know, beat the feminist drum, totally full of shit as far as I'm concerned. You know, making up cases, making up clients, first one on the scene to cry out, oh, you know, my female client's been discriminated against. So there she is. I really don't like her. But, you know, she's sort of your grandkid, I guess, okay? So, fine. Well, after the show, you all go out, and we go out in the little courtyard, and the kids come from upstairs, down some stairs, and they announce them. So they will say, here's, you know, Johnny Johnson, hey, and all the parents clap, and they get a diploma, come down, and they join their family. Well, Gloria Allred is standing right next to them, right? I didn't talk to her. So there's the two of them standing there, and Cole's two little buddies are standing there with them. Cole Woods, he comes down the stairs, and gets his diploma, walks over to us. It's Gloria Allred, me, and the three little 12 girls, and in unison, they go, okay, let's go to Hooters.
Oh my God.
And that she was like,
fan freaking tastic.
Her mouth dropped open. She looked at me. She gave me the biggest scowl. Like, you scumbag. Just training them early. And I just started laughing. And I looked at her and she just kept scowling. I mean, it was a direct in your face.
That's the best thing you could have done.
You're a scumbag. I just looked at her and go, you're right, boys. Let's go to Hooters.
And then the Playboy Mansion.
So what do you think? Well, should they have the case of the Miss California woman to be...
how about that? Miss California got done today.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's that all about? I'm a big fan of hers.
But she wasn't on the tour that time. She was California.
Aren't you? I'm a fan of Miss California. Because it's a free speech deal. Actually, it has nothing to do with
and
how she looks. I didn't care less how she looks.
I didn't even see her.
And she answered the question articulately.
How does her viewpoint differ from our president?
It doesn't at all.
No, she wasn't fired for that.
She's not performing her duties.
Yeah.
Whatever they are.
What are those?
I got a duty for her.
What are your duties in this California?
I got a duty for you.
I had to fire her because she wouldn't perform.
Never even showed up.
But her 15 minutes of fame was like,
I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of her. Gorgeous.
She's gorgeous.
You know, nice girl, come on.
And what is she?
God damn it, I'm still holding the Woody.
Yeah, that's what she said.
That for 4 hours, then you have to disappoint that. There you go. Are we done here? We got to go to the Diamondback game.
Is there anything else you have to say that's really
Hey, real quick, Diamondback game?
Oh, what about Adam being gay?
I'm shocked.
I haven't had a look.
I couldn't even believe it.
I couldn't believe it.
Come on, really?
Fell over.
No, you're joking.
You're not gonna believe it. I heard Liberace.
Oh my
yeah,
god.
I'm the last to know.
See, okay. I think I can figure out what happened. I mean, no, that was not a shock, but the Rolling Stone photo shoot, did you see it? Yeah. He's got the snake on his leg with the head of the snake going after, you know,
really?
Mr. Manhood.
Yeah. David Carradine was late.
It's like, dude, why would you let them put a live snake on your leg?
Oh, is it a real snake?
Yes.
Well, I'm sure it was harmless.
Yeah, the snake's like wrapped around his shoulder in another photo I saw. The cover, it's like a snake.
Yeah, check out like a cop arm.
It's like, woohoo!
Yeah, I don't even want to think about that.
So, is the Carradine photo? Is there?
I know there's
a
photo
of
that.
Is there a photo of it?
No.
No, that photo's on it.
Yeah.
Once it gets on the internet,
because
the video would be Kill Bill 3.
Please,
wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, do you want to? We didn't rank the Diamondbacks. Let's do that real fast. This was a particularly miserable week. It couldn't have been much worse. And we're going over to the game.
Our bullpen is ridiculous.
We need Josh Wilson.
Kerry's cousin went in and got us a win.
Yeah, that's right.
He's now in the Padres.
That's right.
He's got us more wins than John Rauch.
He does.
Hey, Rauch is back. We'll knock him. He has that same snake on his tattoo.
Are you going tattoo? Are you going?
You have the most tatted team.
Yes. Yes.
Get your arm loose about 7:30.
Oh, they sent down the kid. The kid that he ruined by by putting him in Dodger Stadium like a dumbass. They sent him down today. Oh yeah, I'm sure it's his fault. By the way, the record AJ, what's his name? Hinch.
Yep.
His record is within a game the same as Melvin's. So a guy sent me an email saying, it's like for both of it's night, it's still night, but it's 5 minutes late. I don't know, it's very esoteric.
You know, I've changed my whole tune on AJ Hinch.
Oh, you have? You do? Why?
I think one day we heard him talk, really hard.
Is it? He's supposed to be smart.
It was valedictorian.
Yeah,
Went to Stanford American.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
I think he's great. I think he's going to be a little bit.
You do? When? In our lifetime?
The fact that he doesn't have any experience.
Well, he's got more now.
Yeah.
He's like 5 and 18
I'm
or crazy. Something.
No, I'm not being concerned.
Yeah, I know. Come on. That's good.
He's a great baseball manager, though. So, I mean, you got like guys like Tony Lasorda and Joe Torre. And, I mean, okay, Joe Torre's well-spoken, I think, but, you know, he's not like this...
No, you
guy.
Do need an like you need a lawyer like Tony La Russa. Yeah,
that,
or
oh,
me.
Fantastic. Or wait, me.
Why not? Why not a lawyer down there?
Me.
Did you see him arguing with? The one time he ever argued, the guy was out by a mile, and he goes out and argues.
He just felt like he had to.
Oh, that looked so obvious.
So bad.
I look from the dude. I didn't even get himself thrown out. That was
I'm gonna stay out
here. He's in the dirt.
What I like about Tony La Russa being a lawyer is every now and then he gets to practice law when he gets a DUI.
Oh, come on now.
No, I love
him. Oh, that's rough.
He's a great man.
But seriously.
Totally weird dude.
Is he weird?
Weird.
He's a vegetarian.
That's weird.
He's a vegetarian. Oh, yeah.
That
was mine. No, I had nothing to do with that. Did not know that.
I have an autographed Tony La Russa baseball.
Yeah. Hey, there you go.
When he was manager of the old man, he would have signed at Cowhide Company.
The vegan, actually.
No, the vegan ball. No, it's giving me this gift because I haven't seen the open deal plays in the spring training.
Very nice. Very nice. Does anyone think the Diamondbacks are going to come back this season?
Not this season.
It's over.
The Dodgers are running away without the best player in the game.
That's right. Wait till Manny comes back.
Yeah, what's he back? Bam!
Right after the All-Star.
It's that's not good. Well, maybe they'll turn it around, though. I think the Rockies just won 6 in a row, so why not us? Why not us? You see my little soul patch?
Yeah.
You know, every baseball season I do this, and as soon as the Diamondbacks win 5 straight, I shave it, and here we are in the middle of June.
That's going to be a
still
player.
There. You believe that?
That's going to be
your Chicks dig it.
And you know what? It may just stay, because
you're
you think we'll win 5 in a row?
Maybe by August 2010 or something.
Stuck with this
thing. Like
I've never. Yeah, this is where I need to use my legal skills because what if it doesn't happen? Do I have to keep it on until next year? I guess so, technically, right?
Yeah.
If you say five straight, five straight, five straight.
Well,
maybe there's a loophole. I'll look for
yeah, spring training starts, everything starts at noon.
Oh, it does.
During the hot school.
Like a shade.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll find it out for you.
Okay. All right, guys. I think that's a show.
That's a show.
All right. We're done.
Ta-da.
Can we use the handhelds? That went back.
No, we'll have the...
Yeah,
we'll have the... You guys both have them less than five.